Hour at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning on this March 8th with Ask the Mayor. I've been really interested in finding out what was going to be happening with your retreat. You went to that meeting and you discussed the coronavirus. Commissioner Patterson brought that up. What is our plan?
Commissioner Patterson, who is a doctor, a veterinarian, has been studying all the issues of the coronavirus and just wanted to give us an update about some just basic things that individuals should do. That's the first line of defense. Of course, washing the hands. We had hand sanitizer there. Our staff people that take the front desk who meet a lot of people, they also are doing a lot of hand washing and sanitizing. And it was just kind of a review of some of the basic things that individuals can do to prevent the spread of this potential flu virus. In a broader sense, I received a call last week and somebody was saying, you know, Mayor, there's a rumor that someone in Highlands has been infected with the coronavirus. My response to that was that I called Warren Cabe of our emergency response department in Macon County. I know that they've been having meetings planning for any type of outbreak of the virus in Macon County. The reason I know that, we sent town staff members to be a part of those meetings. And like in any epidemic or potential epidemic, for example, when they had the Ebola virus, the SARS virus, it begins at the county level with the public health department and the emergency response folks. They had a meeting this past week. They have a plan in place in the event we do have an outbreak of the coronavirus. And we would, of course, be following their lead and teaming with them in dealing with that here in Highlands. But let me just point out, Warren said that there has not been a case reported in Macon County. But that doesn't mean that won't happen, and we all have to do good practices of sanitation individually and be prepared to respond to such a situation if it does happen.
Wide open contract was approved?
We approved a contract that had been developed. Our attorneys, who are ex-national experts and state experts in this field, had recommended that we approve the contract. It kind of captures everything that we've been working toward. So yes, we voted to approve it. The board did at the retreat. That has been communicated to the folks at Wide Open. I suspect there might be some further adjustments and discussions, but at this point we have approved that contract and we're waiting to hear from Wide Open.
Boy, budgets also include, of course, the public works and includes paving and water lines. That's Wide Open for you.
This whole retreat is kind of a wide open discussion where we start looking at future needs that helps drive the development of our budget for this coming year. The public works folks, Lamar Nix, our director of public works, had a pretty long list of things that we need to be addressing. And of course, the paving is a critical part of our public works operation, our road department. And top it on his list was to finish the paving on Culisager Drive. We did a 1.1 miles last year, and now we need to go ahead and do the rest of Culisager. We did Hickory Hill this past year, so that will not be an issue. But we have about five other roads, Spring Street, an alleyway downtown, and some other roads that need to be paved, including the road I live on, Pinecrest. And some people might say, oh, the mayor's just getting a perk. Not true. We haven't had that road paved in over 20 years, and it's about to wash away. My neighbors have been very concerned about the condition of that road. So that's on the list for consideration for paving this year, too. We've got an ambitious paving initiative going on. We talked about extending the recreation sunset tax and transferring it over to the Public Works Department, where we can always have a base for paving roads every year. We went on further into public works, a deep dive, if you will. It's time to replace a garbage truck. This one's going to cost about $185,000 or $180,000 because it's not a super large one, but, you know, that's an expense. We're looking at things like a line bucket truck that will need to be replaced in the electric department. One of our trucks has been in service since 1995. The recommendations are that you get rid of a truck after 20 years, although this truck is still operational and meets standards. Sometimes you need to kind of get some new equipment. That's one of the things that we were looking at. And then Lamar, it's not an immediate concern, but we looked at our water department needs. And yes, we'll be making some purchases for water and sewer this year. But the other thing that Lamar wanted us to do is to look down the road And I mean, you know, years down the road. Our water department has been in operation since, I think, about 1964. It's a fine water department, don't get me wrong. Lamar has a list of major equipment and replacement items in that water department, which is pretty substantial down the road. And he was saying we might need to be thinking, do we need to invest in just rebuilding the water plant? And that's basically what it would be, almost a total rebuild on that site. Or do we look at another alternative option? And that would be to build a water plant at another location over near possibly the sewer plant. If we did this, we think that there could be a lot of grants, federal and state money, that would help us make that transition. But it's not something we're going to do tomorrow or even next year, but it's something that in the long range we need to be looking at. How do we make sure that our water and sewer is maintained at a very high level of operation?
You mentioned a little earlier the Parks and Recreation Department, and the tennis courts have been repaved, but there just seems to not be enough time of warmer temperatures, and we need to restripe them. We just need some dry weather too.
Yes, and you know, over the last about 6 years, we have been really trying to upgrade the facilities at the recreation department. So this year it was kind of, if you will, surprising and refreshing. Lester Norris pretty much came in and said, we have about everything we need now except resurfacing that second set of tennis courts. We did the first ones this past year. They've been resurfaced, but they're not functional yet because we have to wait for so many hours where there's no rain, a certain temperature level before they can come in and do the finished surface and do all the striping and marking of the tennis courts. And we were all laughing, saying, well, I guess we'll get to that soon if the weather cooperates. But yes, we'll be doing the second set of courts this coming year. And one of the things that Lester presented was that these will be kind of a dual court system. They'll have, of course, the traditional tennis court net and striping, and then there will also be a secondary striping for pickleball, and also there's even a system where you can lower the nets to meet the height of the pickleball standard, or you can raise the nets if you're going to be playing tennis. So I think that will be a welcome addition to our recreation department.
I thought you were going to lower the nets so that the older players could jump over the net. I have to admit, I have not heard of the Houston House and its use, and that came up on the meeting.
Yes, it was. Lester Norris, our recreation director, brought up the issue of the old Houston House, and let me give some background to it. That house was acquired by the town, I think, 2005, because it's contiguous right next to the existing recreation property. It's that greenhouse in the back near the dog park. One of the things that it has been used for has been an after-school program for kids, but it's just a residential house. It needs some work on it, of course, and maintenance. So the discussion was, should we continue to try to upgrade that house or just demolish the house and build a new facility? Lester thinks we need to consider in the future putting in a new facility because there are several concerns. We could increase the number of kids that we serve after school, and also we could use that new facility for classes and meetings when the children are not there after school. Lester pointed out that our aerobics and Zumba room and workout room, which was built and it's right on the old stage at the gymnasium, is very popular as a classroom early in the morning till about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and then in the afternoon around 5 o'clock. And he says the problem is that multiple classes want to use it once they get out of work and when they want to have a class before they go to work. If we had a new facility that would meet the needs of the after school program, it could also be used for classes and meetings at those other times, and it would help distribute the demand that we have for those types of classes. So that's something to look at, and we directed Lester and his staff to start developing a plan this year about what is needed and how this new facility would actually take form. One other thing that I forgot to mention was that we're upgrading the pavilion at the dog park. That pavilion has been aging for many years. The unpressure treated posts are beginning to rot at the base and so forth. So we'll probably spend about $10,000-$12,000 this next year, replacing those posts and upgrading that, cleaning it, getting all the old paint off, and repainting and upgrading that pavilion. So it'll be a nice place for people to gather when they're bringing their dogs to the dog park. One of the things that Lester told us, and I was very interested in this because I remember about a decade ago or longer, and I was a part of this, wanting a dog park in Highlands. And I've kind of not been connected with the dog park because I no longer have a dog. Lester tells me that it still is a very popular place for people to bring their dog in the afternoon. I encourage people, instead of just bringing your dogs to Founders Park, there's a place where you can go to the rec park, the dog park, put them off leash and let them run and interact with other dogs. So we will be upgrading that facility this coming year.
But I'm watching Macy, my British White Labrador. We go out there, and she would like to have you guys replace some of the wood chips, if that's possible.
That can be done as a routine maintenance.
I know we're going to talk about the fire department and the new bucket truck. What are the police needs, budget-wise?
The police have a need to get more Viper radios. And a Viper radio is a high frequency, I think it's 800 megahertz radio. It has a better range than traditional police radios. And it's also a state standard. In other words, the state patrol, fire departments, first responders throughout the state use the Viper system. And the reason is they can just quickly switch channels and talk with other agencies in real time. They don't have to rely on dispatch saying call this person. They can have direct contact. Macon County has moved to the Viper. In the town of Franklin in Highlands, our police department need to be making that transition. We have a few radios now, but we'll need to go ahead and acquire additional Viper radios for the coming year. Chief Harrell was requesting building a garage storage shed for our big police utility truck where they transport all the barricades when they close down the streets for the festival events. We cut in a small flat area over by the police department this past year where they could park that vehicle and the speed trailer. And he would like to see a garage facility over that. Sometimes we have requests and the board looks at alternatives. With the new fire department being built and some other changes that are just around the corner, I think the feeling of the board is to hold off on that until we can see what we'll be using the old fire department. I'm not sure that'll get funded this year, but we'll just wait and see. You never know.
Okay, we talked about the fire department. We saw the new plans for the building, and we need to carry some water around to locations, so they need a new tanker truck.
We need a new tanker truck. The other thing is that we have a substation now where we have to operate that too, and having two tankers at each station might be very helpful and improve fire protection. So that's something that's on the chief's list, and we'll be looking at that this year. And then, of course, you have the actual construction of the new fire department, which is kind of a separate item. Our construction representative is now well underway developing the documents for bidding for the new fire department. He'll be putting those bids out to the subcontractors as soon as possible, and then we will be assembling those bids, or he will be assembling the bids to give us a maximum cost for the construction of the fire department. Once that is done, we will go to bid and get a bid. We will also have to go and get a review and permission by the North Carolina Local Government Commission. They'll be looking at the actual cost of construction and the loan that we'll have to take out and the revenue, the fire tax that will be used to generate that. So it's kind of a complicated coordinating process that we hope will be done by the end of spring, first of summer. And then the actual building of the fire department is estimated to take 12 months. A lot of the construction is steel, kind of a pre-formed steel structure that would be done at a manufacturing facility and then brought up to Highlands and erected by steel workers. So we think that the actual building can go up pretty fast.
Some presentations of note, one by Kay McCann of the Highlands Chamber and also Cindy Trevathan of the Performing Arts, and how that's coming along.
That's right. I asked Kay and Cindy to come and give us an update on those two organizations. Kay came and talked about the chamber and what they will be doing in the way of developing a new initiative, new directions for the chamber. They're going to be doing kind of an economic comprehensive plan while we're doing the town comprehensive plan. She rolled out what I thought was a very nice new, you might say, phrase or tagline for the chamber. A great place to live is a great place to visit, or reverse that, a great place to visit is a great place to live. And what Kay was really emphasizing is that the chamber really has a dual mission. They want to, of course, attract and serve the tourist community, but also they're well aware and they want to attract and serve the residents of Highlands. Also, it's a double-edged sword. She was saying that so many visitors, when they go to events like concerts in the park, what they come away with a positive attitude about how the people of Highlands really enjoy living here. We need to keep that in balance. One of the things that Kay also said was we need to start thinking about a new strategy for recruiting tourists. For example, we don't need to be spending a lot of money on advertising and promoting Highlands during the summer season. We're jam-packed. But then there are other times of the year where trying to attract people to come and visit will be very helpful to keep, you know, stores open and operations going. And that also benefits the town folks who can go to a nice restaurant or whatever during the winter months and not see that it's closed for the season.
Walking by the Highlands Pack, I know I've seen the parking lot all completed.
I asked Cindy to come and give us an update because, you know, the arts, the performing and visual arts are very critical to the vitality of a town. There has been a lot of changes and challenges with building the new Performing Arts Center. And she came and explained some of the things that are a problem for them right now that they're working on. And one has been escalating construction costs. They raised money based on how much they would need several years ago to build the building. But as we know, construction costs have been going up 6-7% conservatively each year. So it just keeps climbing, and they keep making adjustments, trying to value engineer, raise more money, and they're trying to find that balance where they can get a guaranteed construction price probably in the next month or so and move forward. So one of the things that we will need to address, and it was brought out at her presentation, was that a while back we gave them the property. The town owned the existing building, but in order for them to expand and build, they needed to have title to that building. So we gave them the title, so they own the building, but we continued a commitment that we had in their contract for well over a decade, and that was that we would give them utilities from the town at no cost. And we said that we would do that until March of 2020. Well, March of 2020 is here, and they still have not moved into that new building, and it might take a lot longer. So I think the board will need to sit down at the next meeting to decide, can and should we and do we want to continue that commitment of supporting their efforts? You know, my personal feeling is that we should continue while they are in the process of building this new facility. But that'll be a decision that the board has to make.
Yeah, the next meeting, the third Thursday, that'll be March 19th. What's the next step for the budget? You're going to meet again? Another free lunch?
The staff took notes at this retreat.
Good for them.
They will go back now and look at their notes and start developing a budget led by our town manager, Josh Ward, and Rebecca Schuler, our financial director. They'll start creating a budget, a proposed budget. We will have, in the afternoons, starting, I believe, in April, we'll start having budget workshops where the board will sit down with the staff again, and the budget will be in more of a concrete form at the time. And usually, the way this works, you have blue figures on one column and red figures in another, or red and blue figures. And the code for that is blue, we really need it. Red, if you don't think we need it, we can postpone or make adjustments. So it just gets down to a process and a discussion where the board and staff talk about it. And some things, especially in red, the board will say, nope, we don't want them, remove that. And then they'll come back and do another rendition of the budget. So we'll have about two of these budget meetings before we actually do a formal presentation of the budget. that usually occurs in May, and then we'll call for a public hearing, and the budget will be approved with or without adjustments at the June meeting, and then it goes into effect July 1st.
You are all special people.
At the end of retreat on Thursday, I made this statement. Some people just refer to folks as government workers. I refer to them as public servants who work for the government, and I really express my appreciation and on behalf of the board for the staff and the department directors who have been working with the town manager now since actually December in getting us to this point with the retreat, and then we'll go forward with the new budget. But really, we do have public servants who work for the town of Highlands, and I always want to be mindful of that fact.
Well said. We'll see you next week.